Hi, this is Scott Callon. Thank you, everybody, for joining today. We really appreciate your time. I'm working off of the FY22, so February 2020 Q3 corporate presentation that is on our website. So let's dive into it. Turning to page 7, we have a summary of, I mean, it's a summary, so I'm not going to go through it in detail, but some key elements here are that the earnings model is really very durable. We're structurally profitable. We have stock earnings, so baked-in earnings that are more than double our fixed expenses. On the right-hand side, we point to our stock earnings. One of the things that we've done from this year is we've gotten much more careful about trying to be tax efficient for all of you, for our shareholders and investors, which is to say we've come to focus much more on any and all opportunity to generate cash and to use a tax shield in the form of depreciation. So one of the things that's happening this year is we're getting a hit to EPS because we have moved assets on an accounting basis and also on a tax basis from real estate for sale to fixed assets. The advantage of that is it means that you can depreciate the assets, and that gives you a 30% tax shield because that's what the corporate rate that we pay. So that's actually very, very helpful. We want to generate as much money as we can, real cash, in order to either invest in the business to grow EPS through earnings growth or to grow through EPS by buying in our shares. So you can see it looks relatively flat in terms of what the stock earnings have done excluding the depreciation effect on a depreciation. When you include that, we're actually on a cash and cash basis up about 4%. The flow earnings have been very, very strong. We completed a share buyback, and I'll touch upon what we're doing with our hotel AI system later in the presentation. Going to page 8, I think the right way to describing this is operating profit, OP is up 22% year-on-year, net income is up 24%, EPS is up 26%. I'll touch upon it later. We bought back about 5% of our shares outstanding in the last 3 years. I'm not telling you anything new. You should fully expect us to continue to be buying shares going forward. We have extraordinary, robust cash generation. Business is becoming more efficient, more capital efficient, and so we have the ability to do that. One way of thinking about it, if you take a look, though, you can see that we're effectively at our full year forecast right now. And it's a way of saying we did a full year in 9 months. There are two things going on. The Japanese real estate market continues to be extraordinarily robust. You know, in a world that's deeply uncertain, in a world that continues to have really no yield, Japanese real estate offers, you know, the largest pickup globally against funding rates in any major country. It's a very strong labor market. Corporate profits are growing. The GDP, this is Japan. It's not going to grow through the roof, but it's growing steadily. So the ability to buy, you know, assets that yield somewhere between a 3 cap and a 5 cap, typically with rents growing and funded at somewhere between 50 basis points and 200 basis points, depending on where you are. It's just enormously attractive. So the market is doing very, very well. And within that, you know, we've worked really, really hard to be better, to be different. It's competition that erodes away returns. It's not enough to be good. You need to be differentiated and good, and we've done a bunch of work on that, and it's coming through. So very, very strong first 9 months. The way we think about the world is we don't manage on a year-to-year basis. We manage for the long run. The reason why we announced the Ichigo 2030 long-term plan in April this year is because we think we can grow a lot. That involves spending for growth. We made some choices this year in terms of, as I said earlier, moving assets into accounts that allow us to take depreciation, so that hits EPS. We're spending on IT for growth, that hits EPS. That's all fine. These are all going to be drivers of future EPS growth for all of you. So the result of that, though, is I think probably we will have, and we haven't chosen to upgrade our full-year forecast. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter. It ought to be somewhat light and from a stock perspective, which is to say that the fourth quarter is the lightest quarter for our solar power generation. During the winter, you get less sun. You also get some more snow and cloud cover that blocks power generation. Depending on what happens on the flow earnings side, you know, we'll see what happens. But a very, very, you know, bottom line is we did in 9 months what we expected to do in a year. Our focus has already turned to what we're going to do in next year and going forward. At the same time, we have all these assets that are incredibly high quality, have gotten more high quality over time. We have potential buyers for them if we transact with those buyers, and that will generate more profits in Q4. So we'll all find out together. Turning to segment details on page 9, asset management base AM fees are up 2%. So, you know, relatively straightforward other than rental income is down 1% in sustainable real estate. Pre-depreciation, that's up 5. The big move is on gains on sales. It's as I said, we the irony is we're generating these big gains on sales by lightening up on what we think are, you know, we're trying to have the best possible portfolio going forward. So you know, buyers are buying good assets from us, but if we think something is absolutely super prime and should be kept forever, we're not selling it. No need to. You can earn huge returns on assets that aren't in that same category. So very, very strong earnings being generated of our sustainable real estate business. And clean energy is down 2% year-on-year on pre-depreciation basis. It's flat. And I'll touch on this later, but this is going to be a light year in terms of growth in the clean energy business, and then it picks up again from last year. Turning to page 11, you can see our stock and flow earning breakdown. We target roughly 50-50 from stock and flow. It's actually been such a good year for flow that in the first 9 months. We expect stock to outpace flow in the fourth quarter, so this will become more similar through the year, unless, of course, we have some transactions where people decide they want to buy some of our good assets at really good prices. And so again, we'll find out together. Page 12 points to one of the things we think the most important characteristics of the business model is that we have embedded forward earnings. We build all this additional functionality and value in the assets that we own, and we only record those earnings when we actually transact. And so you can see on page 12, it suggests that we have 51 billion yen, so about $500 million U.S. of unrealized gains according to third-party appraisers. If you turn to page 13, however, you also see the update on year-to-date is that we have generated 2.8x the earnings relative to what third-party appraisers have said we were going to have in terms of our unrealized gains. So if you take a look at this, I think we've been guiding people, Doug, you should assume something, you know, 2x at least in terms of what our stated third-party appraisal unrealized gains are, so not 50 billion yen, but 100 billion yen. So remember, this company has a market cap right now of about 230 billion yen, a little bit over $2 billion U.S. Against that, you know, the appraisers say we have 50 billion yen of unrealized gains. It looks increasingly that we have something more like 2.5 or 3x that. So it could conceivably be the fact that on 250 billion yen of real estate right now, we have 150 billion yen of unrealized gains. They're up 60%. It's a way of saying that, you know, this is what you do. In good markets, you create capability. In a sense, you know, we haven't intended to, other than we're trying to be very efficient about taxes. You're banking future earnings. I mean, sell stuff now, you pay taxes now. You don't sell it, you pay taxes later. You know, we like that. But it is an extraordinary operating environment. Every year, Hasegawa-san and I, CEO, you know, we talk about, you know, is this the peak? And every year, the continuing robustness of, you know, I think the Japanese economy is surprised on the upside. Japanese real estate is surprising on the upside. But there's some durability here. There are economic fundamentals that are driving the attractiveness of these assets in a very uncertain world. Japan as a country and Japanese real estate specifically offers a very powerful return. Page 14 also points to one of the other elements that's important to our business model is, you know, this is real cash generation. We're not guys who kind of, you know, announce earnings that aren't backed by cash. In fact, you would see that the cash generation tends to be substantially higher than what our net income is. 15 points to what's happening with funding and the duration of our debt. We continue to fund at ever lower rates. That actually, at this point, rates have flattened across Japan. So this is not speaking actually to an overall drop in market funding. This is speaking to an overall drop in funding costs for Ichigo because of our increased understanding of our creditworthiness. The other thing that's interesting about this is again, you take advantage of good times to do things that protect you and build for the future. It is not a high priority for the firm. Right? If the bankers are on the phone, this is fine, because I tell them this also, to decrease our funding costs. You know, we have done everything we can to improve terms and conditions. We have kind of the world's lightest kind of non-existent covenants on our debt. That's been a much, much bigger focus. Covenant light, fixed rates, long term, and on the margin, if you're willing to fund us, you know, with all those things having held, you know, at lower rates, fine, we'll take that. And so that's it really kind of speaks pretty powerfully to how, you know, the understanding of our creditworthiness has increased. Let me turn to specific topics in terms of acquisition and sales and other things we're up to. So on page 17, you can see that it is a seller's market. We recognize where we are in terms of, you know, it's great now. Doesn't mean it has to be great 6 months from now. You know, given how robust economic conditions are, they probably have to have something going bump in the night in the world for us to suddenly change from where we are. But, you know, we accept that as an ongoing scenario, an ongoing possibility. We're generating a gross profit margin of 29%. Each of owners continues. That's the new business we set up 3 years ago, which is a very high turnover business, generally a holding period between 6 and 12 months, where we do kind of very fast value add. Primarily, we're giving buyers comfort that we have checked the assets, we've verified the assets, they have Ichigo stamp of quality and approval to them. That business continues to be very, very active for us. If you can see on the table, and I have one correction here, it says office 3 acquisitions and retail 2 acquisitions. We made a mistake in the first half presentation. It said 4 for office and 1 for retail. It should have said 3 and 2. My apologies. So we've corrected that today in here. You can see that most we have been sellers of hotels. It's very interesting. In the long run, Japanese hotels are possibly perfectly fine. You know, you've got competition from B&B sorts of alternative business models. The reality of the last year has been, you know, biblical levels of things going wrong in terms of natural disasters, a very, very serious, a huge drop-off in flows of Korean tourists, which are the number one source of arrivals in Japan. So kind of everything going wrong in the hotel market, NOIs have been impacted, and so nonetheless, they are very, very strong bids for Japanese hotels. So thank you. We were happy to sell hotels at we think are very good levels. The other thing you'll see is in residential, we're being overwhelmingly the most active. The acquisitions are almost entirely Ichigo owners. So I'll touch on the next page, but the business model is prime Tokyo residential. You know, just very, very durable. Residential is the most defensive, as you know, of all the of the real estate asset classes. It's a wonderful way to substitute for a minus, you know, 6 basis point return on a 10-year JGB. You own prime Tokyo residential at kind of 300 basis points or something like that. I'll also point out that on the other category down below, this is primarily self-storage on the acquisition side. As you know, we have, we think, one of the best self-storage. It's all internal, highly automated, air-conditioned, beautiful self-storage business. Page 18 points to, this is just really an opportunity for us to talk through how our core sustainable real estate business, which is Ichigo Estate, that's the entity that does that, compares to the owner's sustainable real estate business. You can see that both entities transacted in residential assets in the third quarter, slightly bigger on the part of Ichigo Estate. The key difference is the holding period in Ichigo Estate, so this is our core SRE business, was 5 years. The gross profit margin reflected overwhelmingly the much more work we had done to grow the value of assets during that period. And on the other, on the right-hand side of the page, you can see the owner's activity, which is a holding period of only about half a year and a gross margin of about 15%. By the way, I mean, we target only a 10% margin in this business, so we're delivering right now 15%. It just tells you the desperate hunger for really good assets in the good locations with owners have been providing. The other two things that have happened, and we are definitely trying to go with as many birds as possible with one stone, We've also used the Ichigo Estate transaction to win a long-term asset management mandate with a very large, very sophisticated global investor, so we're very happy with that. And in the owner's case, the owner's has clearly been a broadening of our sales channel and a kind of a diversifying and therefore stabilizing new elements to our sustainable real estate business. Page 19 discusses what's going on with the ongoing kind of value-add activity we're doing at Tradepia Odaiba, which is the biggest asset that we own. We paid about $300 million for it a couple of years ago. It's gone enormously well. We were asked on the Japanese language call, analyst call, a couple, I guess 2 hours ago, about what's going on with this asset and what we think our future views are on earnings. And, you know, quite simple answer is, you know, when we sell this asset, we will have this massive earnings. To be clear, we have grown NOI during our holding period, which I think at this point is 3 years, could be four, over 50% in a period where cap rates have compressed. So we bought this as a 4% cap. It's now a 6% cap. We put $300 million into it. It's just going to be the year we sell this asset, and at some point we will. It's going to be that massively earnings and cash generative. So, you know, but we're not done. I mean, we own the asset. We're going to continue to do more work there. As you know, one of the hallmarks of what we are is we are an owner that likes to be intimate with our tenants. In other words, not like most owners who never want to see the tenant, and most tenants who don't want to see the owner, right? So we want to be there for our tenants. So we've continued to do ongoing tenant activity, a recent survey. You know, we've done all this work based on the previous survey results. There's more things that they think we can do at the asset. That's great. We're doing all those sorts of things we can be of use to the tenants and the community. Turning to page 20, we have three listed investment corporations, two REITs and a YieldCo, continue to work on behalf of all those shareholders. I think probably the highlight is in the center of Ichigo Hotel, which we think is trading very cheap. And one of the things you should do if you're a non-conflicted, actually work for your REIT shareholders, if you think your assets are being underpriced by the public markets, is you sell them. And so there is an ongoing sell program at Ichigo Hotel, because it's trading below NAV, and when we think under NAV, as I spoke to earlier, probably underprices the value of the assets, so that the NAVs are based on third-party appraisals. So there's an ongoing sell program there, which we think is very much to the benefit of the REIT holders, and also to speak to, okay, this is so clearly a monetization on behalf of shareholders. It is possibly a way to also drive up the share price. Turning to the clean energy business, it continues to grow rapidly. We have brought up two new plants online this month at feed-in tariffs of 36 yen and 32 yen. As you know, right now the feed-in tariff is 14. So these continue to generate, you know, super normal returns for you, our shareholders and investors. On page 22 shows the roadmap is what's happened year to date. So we'll do 2x in terms of the megawatt growth this year relative to last year. Page 23 speaks to what we're doing in the hotel space. This is all we think is very, very important. As I said earlier, you know, we need to be better, and we need to be differentiated in delivering better, of course, because that's how you get to be better. So we have a 39-hotel platform right now. It's not on the page, but as you know, one of the biggest successes we've had over the last 2 years is the rollout of a new hotel brand called The Knot. It is going extraordinarily well. There are two Knots right now in Tokyo and Yokohama, massively outperforming the market. Year-on-year growth in NIA is enormous. We have plans to, and we're proceeding with putting Knots into, let's see, Sapporo, Hiroshima, and Fukuoka, so more will be coming. We announced yesterday, it was a PR release, so apology was just in Japanese, but that we are introducing another brand called the 1-5. It's the 1-5 Villa Fukuoka, so it's we're introducing a slightly, the Knot brand is basically $100 to $200 a night. And instead of just having a cheap box, it's a very high quality experience, which is why it's going so well. Full language support for visitors overseas, massive inbound, and not just kind of Asian, but global inbound, significant North American and European component of visitors at the Knot, particularly in Tokyo Shinjuku. The 1-5 brand is simpler. It's more of a budget brand. It's basically going to be kind of $70 to $100 a night. But as always, we do things that are different. I mean, why would you want to be at the 1-5? And the 1-5, by the way, is a pun. So Ichigo, hope this is not taking you too much into a rabbit hole, but Japanese has lots of homonyms, very few sounds, kind of like Hawaiian. So when you say a word, it kind of can mean lots of things. So Ichigo can either mean Ichigo from Buddhism, which is our Ichigo. It can also mean strawberry. It can also, as Ichi and Go, mean 1-5. And so we've called this the 1-5, which is a pun for who we are. This particular hotel is what is distinctive about that, because we want to offer a distinct and unique experience to our visitors, is that it is run by a patisserie. And so it has this incredibly delicious bakery, and the guests can choose whatever they want. It opens on February 1. Any of you going to Fukuoka, if you want a low-cost, you know, super high-value experience relative to the price point, you are welcome to the 1-5 Villa Fukuoka. The other thing that's here that we should speak to is we did buy a hotel operator. It's a non-asset business early in the year. It speeds up decision-making and reduces costs. We also think it will provide an effective test bed. One, as you know, we primarily operate through operators. We're a very hands-on owner, but we've mostly not chosen to actually own the operational element of the business. You know, we understand it's asset-light. It also means you're managing lots and lots of people. And we've chosen to try to be kind of 200 people generating among the highest OP per head of any company in Japan. But we also came to realize that if we don't have our own operator, when we go to our stable of operator partners and we talk to them about stuff, it's like, yeah, is it really possible? So we wanted to have something where we can actually directly test things ourselves. And that's what Hakata Hotels is. Also, we continue to move forward with our artificial-based revenue management system. We announced today after the close that we had already signed up the biggest online travel agency is the wrong word, but connector and for hotels in Japan. We brought in number two and number three today also, so we're continuing to expand the data and number of the hotels that are going to this system. It is driving at the hotels we've introduced revenue growth of 10 to 40% per day. It is a very, very big breakthrough. We think we're getting close to the point. You know, this is, again, an element of Ichigo. We do not want to overpromise, and so probably, in a sense, we underpromise. We don't promise. We just kind of say, hey, we're doing something in the AI space, and then people spend a couple of years trying to figure out if this is going to be valuable. You know, we're thinking we're getting, at this point, some pretty good incoming evidence that this could be very, very valuable for you, meaning that it is potentially a driver, not only returns in our own hotels and in the hotels we manage, but an ongoing, as we've begun to sell it externally, a brand new revenue stream, completely unlinked to unlinked to the real estate market, you know, with a winner-take-all kind of, we have the best data and the best capabilities, and we can allow hotel operators to generate so much more return from the hotels that we will be able to participate in the growth of value that occurs there. So. Hopefully, we'll be able to provide some more details than that for you in the next month. Page 24, this is much more earlier days. I mean, we've been selected as the operator of the Yokosuka port market, which is an area near Tokyo. You know, we'll have to go through and kind of verify how we're going to take this forward. There's an agricultural theme park that we're also working on. These are, again, kind of opportunities to figure out what can be done. You should expect very high returns on capital from them, because that's what we do. But it's an example of us continuing to experiment. To be Ichigo is to make small moves, see and test areas, see if more can be done. If we decide it's productive, we can expand fairly rapidly. Page 25 touches on the JBIG shareholder program that we began this year. That's been very successful. We have 55,000 shareholders among both Ichigo ICH-237, this phone call, and also the three listed entities, 7,000 of them registered for this program, so that's a 13% yield with basically almost no publicity. We end up having about 750 of our shareholders going to games courtesy of Ichigo, dating matches all over the country. We also had special events for children, for them to kind of go onto the pitch and meet the players and carry flags onto the field, all sort of thing. And it's been very, very successful. It started kind of mid-season, so next year we ought to have even higher throughput in terms of our shareholders being to participate in something that's really pretty special. And finally, we on page 26, we did complete the share buyback that we announced earlier in the year. As you know, we started it, didn't complete, and of course, when we announced the buyback, we intend to complete. So we took a second shot at it and fully completed it. And as you can see, over the last 3 years, we bought back about 5% of our shares. So those are the prepared remarks. At this point, I'm happy to take questions or any and all feedback. If you have a question, you press star then one. Question or feedback, star then one. If you want to draw your question, you can press star then two. But anybody on the line who has anything that they want to bring to us, we're grateful to have you with us. So star one. Greg, I think you're on.
Yes, hi Scott. This is Greg at Point 72. Thank you for the presentation. One quick question, please, regarding. Ichigo owners and the residential program. As you mentioned, this seems to have been quite strong over the past months. Could you perhaps highlight, what are the drivers that continues to generate good turnover from the point of view of the client? Is it just normal kind of toshibuken, people wanting to put money to work? Is it related to inheritance? What are the drivers that you see, generally speaking, among your clients, and are those drivers kind of changing over time?
So, Greg, one of the things, and thank you so much for joining, one of the things that's become more clear this year is an increasing global participation in Japanese real estate. And so the implication of that is actually the owner's clientele has shifted. When we started 3 years ago, it was almost entirely domestic, high net worth and cash rich corporates. This year, it will be overwhelmingly global institutional investors. So a complete flipping. And so it is not actually Japanese inheritance tax. It is, we want really good assets. And to be clear, owners only does Central Tokyo new residential. I mean, it's something we've chosen to specialize in because we felt comfortable that it would have ongoing kind of robust demand, no matter what the circumstances. It's defensive, but the clients have shifted towards the global institutions.
And what kind of cap rates would they be willing to buy at, given current circumstances?
High twos to low threes.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I mean. We have this huge book of earnings just sitting in our balance sheet right now. As you know, we bought more in owners this year. We're substantial in the sense of our bought this year. It's not because we're not able to sell them. We're just kind of working through carefully who we're going to sell the assets to. As a recent example, but there's been very substantial cap rate compression.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard, you there? We registered you being online, but you're clearly not.
Sorry. So hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi. Thanks for the update, and congratulations on the results. Regarding the hotel competition, so you are very confident in slowly expanding the North and the 1-5 hotel operations. But how do you see the competitive environment with Oyo and APA just in the hotel business generally?
Well, Oyo has kind of blown itself up. I mean, I don't want to speak to it, everywhere in the world, but that's not really an issue. Look, I mean, the issue is there has been simultaneously an increase in supply and a drop-off of demand. And the drop-off of demand is related to, as I say, both the natural disasters and particularly the impact mm-hmm. on current inflows. And the key is you need to have something differentiated. So, you know, we have two things that are going on that are very powerful that we think are differentiating. One is the rollout of these new brands, but that's more limited, although the not returns have been explosive. I mean, they've been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But more powerfully, I think, in the long run, is probably Prepare, the AI system. I mean, we're literally taking into hotels and driving revenues up 10 to 40%, and that's like magic. So that ability to do that, to buy a hotel that, you know, somebody else owns and to take the revenues up that level is really very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's in a way also competing with the Oyo promise of applying AI and then really rolling out a standardized format extremely quickly and using AI to basically improve the revenues and the returns.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're partner with SoftBank here. We know we take them seriously, but it's we're not experiencing anything particularly in terms of competitive threat at this point.
Yeah, because the hotels using PropRite will keep their own identity. It's not like converting everything into one brand.
That's right. And so if you have a powerful brand, yeah, you want to try to push the brand. I mean, there's. I think we're all aware. I'm not going to comment on Oyo, but we're all aware of what's happening globally. And so that's clearly a big headwind for them.
Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you. Okay, I think we're done. Thank you, everybody. We really appreciate your time. It's an honor and a privilege to work for Oyo. Have a very good day.